Good morning and welcome to worship here at the table. My name is Matt, and along with Linda, we serve as co-pastors for this beautiful community, and we're grateful to be together as we move from what our children learn about in godly play as the green and growing season into the beauty and mystery of the season of Advent, which invites us toward the mystery and hope of Christmas. So I invite you to stand in body or spirit, and we'll join our voices together with our musicians. This is a song called Hope.
Thank you for remaining standing.
I'll invite us together into our Advent candle lighting, and Linda will share the voice of one, and I'll invite us to join our voices as all.
And yes, it's dim in here on purpose. We're making our way towards the mystery of Christmas. In a weary and worn world, how do we begin again? Where do we start?
Let us begin with the good news. Let us begin by trusting that we are a blessing, loved by a gracious God. Let us begin with music and singing. Let us begin with warmth and welcome. Let us begin with hope.
Yes, let us begin with hope. Today we light the candle of hope to shine a light in a worn and weary world.
May this be our fresh start. May this be our new beginning.
May hope flow forth from here. Let's all say amen.
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 And we'll continue to move in worship with a song that likely has a familiar tune, but the lyrics come from this moment. So I invite us to join our voices as we feel led or moved.
In case no one ever told you, or you have forgotten, are a blessing and have been since you were begotten. Fashioned from love, sent to the earth from above, you're nothing short of a godsend.
Amen. I invite you to be seated. We'll move together into a poem that is a prayer. So this is Joy and Celebration, shared by Seska.
You are a blessing. If you hear nothing else, if the wind howls, if your brain runs amok, if rebuttals and denials line up like little toy soldiers, then hear this. You are a blessing. I knew it the first moment I met you, heard your name, learned there are 7 billion of us on this planet. I knew it in my bones, the way my feet know the way home. You are a blessing. For our creating God breathed life into your being. And there is simply no way that, along with that life, some of God's goodness didn't slip right in. So tell the rebuttals to rest. Tell the toy soldiers to find another hill, because this one is reserved for joy and celebration. You are a blessing. Breathe it in.
And one more time. Sorry. This is a song called You Say, and I invite you to rise in body or spirit and allow this to be a prayer that washes over our bodies.
I believe, oh, I believe, oh, every failure, God, you'll have every victory.
Alrighty, good morning, everyone. I have to say how wonderful it is to see all of your faces. In this spirit of the season, you know, we always have lots of joy and lots of great things that are happening, but sometimes life is also happening. And so life is happening for me. But when I came here, all of your spirits have sustained me, which is kind of fitting because my name is Lisa Wagley and I serve on the administrative board and my focus is sustainability. So I think it's kind of funny, right, that our music sustains our spirits, that we sustain each other's spirits. And so welcome and thank you for joining us this morning. So this is my favorite time because if you're a little person, you get to stand up and our band is going to play just for you so you can walk to godly play. And that's if in your K through fifth grade. And for our very, very small people, we have special care for them right down the hall. So what's really cool is families, when you support Godly Play with a gift, an offering, I want you to know that goes to Mustard Seed Montessori-based school. And this school is really special because it's there for children who are experiencing homelessness. So thank you for your gracious gifts. And they're exiting. I think that's my highlight. One of these days I might see my granddaughter dancing down the stairs there, down the aisle. I'll be excited. Alrighty, so this morning our reading comes from, can I move this? Okay, thank you. I was on my tippy toes, everybody. So this morning our reading comes from Luke 1, verses 26 through 38. I'll be reading from the Standard Revised Version. It's a little bit updated. Alrighty. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to have been barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Thanks be to God.
Has drifted snow, his eyes as flame. All hail, said he, thou lowly maiden Mary, most highly favored lady, Gloria, Gloria. From now on, a blessed mother thou shalt. Generations, Lord, and honor thee. Thy son shall be Emmanuel, by seers foretold, most highly favored lady, Gloria,
was beautiful. Wow. Lisa's right, y'all are beautiful. My family and I moved from where I was raised in the San Joaquin Valley to Berkeley, California when I was in the sixth grade. So I was 1972. You can do the math, but I'm 63, almost 64. I attended Columbus Elementary School. That school doesn't exist anymore. It was a big shift for us for many reasons, most of which are not for this sermon, but one detail is, which I'll share shortly. The year after that, I attended Martin Luther King Junior High. Also a big shift because I was going to have classes. Do you remember when you went from your one teacher to changing rooms and you had to find your way? And I was from the San Joaquin Valley, which was very small, and my junior high, we had two junior highs in Berkeley, and there were 1,000 kids in each. And so 500 seventh graders, 500 eighth graders in mine. So there were a lot of people. One of the biggest surprises to me was that one of the classes they put me in was home ec. Me. I'll just say it's a surprise because I've never aspired towards domesticity. Ever. Yeah, I nailed that. Yeah, it's true. But it turned out that the surprise was on me because what did they put me in? They didn't put me in how to cook or anything that had to do with food. They put me in a class that was called Creative Stitchery. I was taught the art of embroidery. I took to it immediately. It was all handwork, and I was totally in. And I thought, oh, well, if this is home ec. Remember, it was 1972, so if you remember those days, and even if you don't, y'all, it's all coming back now, and I want to claim it for the 70s, but we embroidered and embellished all of our shirts, all of our bell bottoms. We were very cool. In the meantime, my family was finding our way in this new church where my dad was the pastor. And there was a big room at the church called the parlor. Most church buildings either have a parlor or ours here is called the fireside room. Stick with me for more church trivia and I can help you out. In the parlor, up against the wall, were huge, and I mean big, wooden frames. And I asked my dad about them, and he had no idea what they were, and I had no idea what they were. Fast forward to a day, because I would walk home past the church, so I stumbled in on an afternoon, and the frame mystery was completely solved. They were quilting frames. And sitting around them that day were tons of women chatting and stitching away. That's not my church, but I found these pictures that look like my church. As I tentatively approached, I was welcome to watch and eventually asked if I wanted to join in. And this is an image of what it looked like, as I said. On the one side, also in the room, was a smaller round lap frame. And that's where you were to practice your stitches. And they showed me what to do. And because of that creative stitchery class, I passed on my first test. I could do 6 stitches per inch. They were chatty, they were kind, and they welcomed me to the big frame. My guess is there were 4 generations present around those frames. There were 2 of them, and I soon learned that the quilters, that was the name of the group, made quilts to give away. Sewing machines were also set up in the corner for the piecing and the assembly, a simple setup for the production of quilts that would eventually last people a lifetime. Well, Pastor Matt and I discovered a wonderful resource for Advent this year from Sanctified Art, which employs quilts as their connection and the motif for the season. Maybe you've noticed already. It was love at first sight. Because we knew of a stellar quilter in our community, and well, to be honest, because of my love of all things that is textile arts. What you see around you this morning are quilts on loan from the private collection of Karen Morrison, who is part of the table. These are individual designs that she created, some of them, and she made them. She's sitting in the back with a white vest, but I won't make her raise her hand. Since I met Karen, I was like, how are we going to get these in the sanctuary? Each week, we are going to have a different blessing which may seem and sound kind of simple, but put into practice their lifelong ventures, these blessings. So we welcome you to our theme, Peacing Advent Blessings at the Table. And you spell peacing, P-I-E-C-I-N-G. What are the words and messages that make up the blessings that have shaped or pieced you into the person you are today? One of them from my mom, you ready for this? It's really profound. You are who you are, Linda Susan. Clearly, I complain a lot about who I am not. When we have words like that, sometimes over a lifetime, they can become a comfort to you, warming through you through a difficult season. What are some of those words? Just in your own head, you can answer that question. What are some of the words that have become a comfort for you, shared by loved people, that have been blessings in your life? Some of the words that have become a comfort to me are those that are shared from my spiritual director when she reminds me that all of my feelings and wonderings and responses are not too much for her. She doesn't leave. She sits with me. There are many messages that come to us from many sources. And I just want to review so you know the messages that we are going to hold this Advent. Just try and take these in. You are a blessing. That's today. You can't go it alone. Do the good that is yours to do. Hope is worth the risk. Love knows your name. Don't forget to laugh. The road isn't straight. Looking at our series as a whole, what are the messages that you might add to that list that I just shared? I myself might add, this too shall pass. That's a message that's a blessing for me. Lean into the mystery, I might add that. Be kind. One of my personal favorites, not my pig, not my farm. Yeah, it's from my 12-step friends. We begin today with blessedness, for this is Mary's beginning, which we heard read for us, and it is ours as well, and we sang about it, and we heard Gabriel's message that Omari and sang for us. It's a radical statement, for far too many of us are told implicitly or explicitly that we are a burden instead. It's a message that can easily be muted, trivialized, or redacted. Hustle culture, scarcity thinking, capitalism, racism, patriarchy, white Christian nationalism are all forces that attempt to convince us to believe that we are not a blessing. That's some crap. But here's the thing. When we stop believing that we are a blessing to God, then we may stop believing that about others too. Conversely, when we're rooted in our blessedness, we can treat every created being as a blessing as well. So this is the first blessing of Advent for us. And I want to just take a moment to review Advent, because for some of us in this room, they have no idea what I'm talking about, which is okay. Others, it sounds really familiar. Like the women around the quilt frame, we are a generationally mixed group resembling that first experience I had in Berkeley so long ago, right here, right now in this room. Although our littles went off, right? But they were here with their noise, their exclamations. Advent is a season of endings and beginnings. As one church calendar year comes to a close, a new church calendar year begins today. Christ's birth ushers us into new ways of living and loving as our children are learning right now in godly play. This time is full of mystery, they are being told. You know, a mystery is hard to enter sometimes, and that is why this time of Advent is so important. Sometimes people can walk right through a mystery and not even know that it is there. Somebody's going to go home today and say to their significant other, "Weren't those quilts something in the sanctuary?" And they're going to go, "What quilts?" "Didn't you love that stained glass window?" "What window?" "I don't know about that, but I like the candle." And then she'll say, "What candle?" We're all noticing and taking in different things, but it can be easy to miss the mystery. Our children are remembering this deep truth as they gather on the floor in godly play, sanctuaries to hear and see and touch and feel the stories of Advent, which have been passed like these quilts through the generations. This time of year, we will see people hurrying to buy things. Maybe you got stuck on the freeway in traffic yesterday. All the hurrying to do this and to do that, and they are apt to miss the mystery. They don't know how to get ready, or maybe they just forgot, and maybe sometimes we are them. I know I am. Like, we had to have our Advent calendars because they start today, and I had to think, I ordered that back in September. Where is it? We found it. The church learned a long time ago that people need a way to get ready to enter or even come close to a mystery like Christmas. So the church has set aside 4 whole weeks to get ready. And during this time, we are all of us, here in this room and up in godly play, all of us are on our way to Bethlehem. And as our children learn in godly play, prophets are people who come so close to God, and God comes so close to them that they know what is most important. They point the way to Bethlehem, and Mary was just such a prophet. She proclaimed hope in a God who was and is making all things new. Christ's birth offered a beautiful new beginning for shepherds and magi alike. And this was while King Herod tried to bring Christ's story to an end. When we ourselves navigate seasons filled with endings and beginnings, we need reminders. We need words that can feel like steady ground, like a path for our feet to find as we step forward into the unknown. So we are going to call these words Advent blessings. And we will piece them together over the season to create a quilt of blessings, a reminder to root us in the fundamental truths of our faith. Journalist and author Kayla Craig writes about our theme like this. The Advent journey unfolds like a well-worn quilt, each patchwork piece lovingly threaded across time and space. In each thread, we find blessed assurance that with each and every sacred stitch, God has been moving towards us all along. This season reminds us that what some may see as discarded scraps, the Maker of heaven and earth calls beautiful and blessed. Mary, an ordinary teenage girl from the obscure corners of Nazareth, was not cloaked in power or prestige, but was blanketed in belovedness, and that was enough. Advent invites us to reflect on how we, like Mary, are invited into God's redemptive narrative, no matter how ordinary or small we might feel, for each of us has the potential to carry God's love into a weary world. In this week's passage from Luke, the story of Mary and the angel Gabriel illustrates how God selects someone from the world that the world might overlook to be part of something really beautiful. Kelly Nicondea writes about it like this. In a culture and a set of stories where priests and patriarchs were given celebrity status, Jewish ears must have burned when they heard Luke's gospel mention the girl from Galilee. Gabriel's message was, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." It's not merely a formality, but a declaration of Mary's essential place in this divine quilt. Mary's encounter with Gabriel, a hinge moment in the Advent story, marks the unveiling of a promise and a prophecy of a miraculous birth that overturned everyone's expectation of what a coming king's arrival might look like. Plus, Galilee was nothing like its southern sister, Judea. Even though both were part of the 12 tribes of Israel, they did not necessarily get along. Galileans, according to the Judeans, were simply not the best of people. And Galilee was the last place anyone expected to be on God's map for a peace campaign. In my mind, it might be something like, God finds someone to lead the peace campaign from Barrow, Alaska. Look it up. Mary's response, "How will this be?" is profoundly human. In this moment of divine mystery, Gabriel offers a blessed reassurance. "Don't be afraid," Gabriel says. When we wonder if our quiet worries or loud wonderings matter in the vast expanse of the cosmos, these words remind us that God knows our wandering hearts, and acknowledges our fears and moves towards us. Isaiah 43 echoes this comfort, promising we will not be alone when we pass through deep waters or face the fires of trials. It says this, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name." You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers of chemotherapy, I just added that, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. In a world often drenched in pain and suffering and injustice, it is a gift to remember that we are formed and made by a God who loves us and does not leave us. It's often true that we feel compelled to earn our worth and belovedness, but our Creator affirms our inherent worth. In light of God's infinite love, we are beloved. The very fibers of our being are stitched together with care. We can't work our way to receiving God's compassion. It's already there, as present as the twinkling stars in the sky, as near as the clouds of breath, or like this morning, that fog. It just enveloped us on a cold morning, as comforting as a warm quilt. You are a blessing because the one, from whom all blessings flow sees you and knows you and calls you by name. So listen, when you are facing impossibilities, as Mary surely did, it's not your productivity or power that will push you through, but the grace of God. The grace of God. To be clear, this divine assurance doesn't clarify every outcome or guarantee a life of ease. Mary's path, like many before and after, was full of challenges. I don't want to belittle that in any way. Yet this promise of love that makes a way when there seems to be no way offers us hope that we do not face our challenges alone. As we journey into this Advent season, may you rest under the warmth of these truths by embracing our inherent blessedness as a starting point. We open our hearts to recognize and affirm the blessedness in others, which transforms our interactions and communities. God's perfect love invites us to live out our belovedness by transforming our world with love and entering it into the good work God's hand began quilting many years ago. This morning I saw a headline in the New York Times. I shouldn't have looked, I know. It said, "When did America become mean?" God's perfect love invites us to live out our belovedness by transforming our world with love. So this Advent, we invite you to consider your sacred place within the divine quilt. And we make this invitation knowing that everyone has different comfort levels with making things. That can be true of quilting too. Some appreciate the choosing of the colors, the preparation of the fabric, the wondering about the pattern. Some like to piece the top layer. That's me. So there are no limits to the designs quilters can do. Some are drawn to connecting the three layers, top, middle, batting, and bottom together. As we piece Advent blessings together this season, there are going to be stations. Maybe you noticed one in the back when you came in, maybe you didn't. There's one over here. There's one over here. And we're going to spend time before and after and during communion creating, not just today, but each week. There are prompts in our prayer stations if you are more drawn to quiet meditation. But fair warning, when you go to the prayer station, the prompt says, "What helps you remember that you are a beloved child of God?" Not always the easiest question. Our children will have Advent calendars to bring home or just to play with here in the binders that are in the back. There's an online Advent devotional that adults can access through our website. And always you may opt for none of the above. I mean it. I really do mean it. You may prefer to sit quietly. You got yourself here. That's enough. But the invitation is to slow down. And we invite you at the stations to place a piece on the black background. And don't worry, the edges are going to overlap before they are sewn together. Our quilter, our in-house master quilter, Karen, is going to help us with this. But we invite everyone to slow down, to wade into the mystery at your comfort level, to dwell in the quilts that are around you on the screen, that are hanging, the color, the pieces that have come together to be our blessing on this first Sunday of Advent. Amen.
Friends, Advent is a season of waiting. We wait for Christ to be born. We wait for the feeling that love is near. We wait for God's promised day. And while we humans are good at many things, waiting is not high on most of our lists. We tend to be impatient and anxious, eager for the hope of what comes next. And maybe that's why the table is such a gift. For when we come to the table, if for just a moment the waiting stops, when we come to the table for just a moment, we get an opportunity to glimpse God's promised day. For those that are seeing or open to seeing the mystery before them, we have an opportunity to glimpse where all are fed, where all are truly welcomed. And so in the Gospel of Luke, the angel Gabriel tells Mary two things: that she is highly favored, and that she is going to have a child. Mary's response to this news is simple. With awestruck authenticity, she asks, "How can this be?" As we approach the prayer of confession, we might have that same question. How can this be? How can God's love and mercy know no end? How can God be so gracious with us? Regardless of the week that you have had, or as Lisa named, the life that has come upon you, this good news never changes. So let us join our voices together in speaking the truth of our lives. I invite us into a time of this prayer of confession, trusting that God's mercy might leave us awestruck as well. I invite you to stand in body or spirit and to join us together with one voice. Let us pray. Affirming God, your first words to creation were words of love. You looked at this earth and said, "It is good." You spoke affirmations through the prophets. You spoke blessings over Mary. You spoke belonging through Christ. In every turn, you have reiterated that we are a blessing, made in your image, held in your love. Forgive us for forgetting this truth. Forgive us for measuring our worth by society's measuring stick instead of yours. We believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Friends, I don't know when the last time you were told that you are good. You're good just actually as you are. I don't know the last time that you heard that you're loved, that you're created in the image of God. I don't know the last time you actually trusted these words and truly believed in this deep blessing. However, in case it's been a while, hear these words again in this moment from the prophet Isaiah. God says, "Do not fear. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. We are forgiven. We are loved. Let it leave you awestruck." Mm-hmm. Let us join together. Thanks be to God. May we take this truth into our bodies and souls. Amen. And I invite us to join in the call and response that is the church's practice for recognizing the belovedness of God in each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you. And we invite you to turn and share a symbol of peace with a person gathered near to you. Peace be with you.
Gracious God, we give you praise and thanks for this holy communion, the body of Christ, of your beloved Son. Love.
invite us into prayer together with the words Jesus shared long ago with those who were his companions. We encourage you to name and address God in the language most dear and true to your own heart. Let us pray. Our Mother,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered in this moment and over these gifts which are before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us through them Christ's body alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love, and when we say all, we mean everyone. We encourage those who are joining us from home to bring close to them the elements that they are using for this sacred meal. For those of us here in the sanctuary, you can move to the forward station or the rear of the sanctuary. There'll be platters there with bread that was baked for us, and in the center of the platter are crackers that don't have gluten in them, and in our cups is always grape juice. We want to remind everyone that every week there are people who find their way here, and that this is something new and different and unique, and that is beautiful. And there are many of us for whom this is a life practice. But what we always remind you is that no matter where you are on that continuum, there's nothing you can do to make a mistake. We are in God's divine dance together. As I mentioned, there are stations around the sanctuary for piecing quilts, which we will be working on this project for the coming month. And don't ask me how it's going to all turn out, because we don't know yet. But what we do know is that we are a blessing to one another and to God, and that blessing will be turned into something for our community.
Friends, this is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you, and the cup of God's healing, forgiveness, and love poured out for the whole world. Linda, the bread of life broken for you, and the cup of God's love poured out for you.
And for you.
Amen.
Thank you.
we say each Sunday here at the table as we move from communion into ascending. We invite folks to stay for as long as they might need with candles and prayer or at the stations for quilting, and we truly mean that in this moment. We need many more prayer stations just to make space for all that we're holding. So I do encourage you to stay for as long as you need or desire, or to continue to move to those prayer stations as you're led. Nourishing God, sometimes we tell ourselves that too much has taken place to begin again. We think the world is too far gone. We think that we've made too many mistakes. We tell ourselves we couldn't possibly begin again. And then we are invited to your table and we glimpse, at least have an opportunity to glimpse your vision. We come to the table and are welcomed. All are seen, all are fed, all means all, and we're invited to begin again. So thank you. Thank you, God, for the gift of this new day. Thank you for planting hope deep in our bones. Thank you for meeting us in the ordinariness of bread and juice. You remind us this moment that it is never too late to join you in quilting the justice of your realm in this moment. And for this, we are grateful. Amen. 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 Friends, we are a community that is blessed by generosity. We are a community that exists here because of the generosity of those who have gone before us. They never imagined your beautiful faces here when they first built this building back in 1959. They definitely never imagined that people would be watching online in this moment. And yet their generosity allowed this space to come into being. And your generosity helps to sustain that. We have been blessed over these last weeks by phenomenal gifts that will help us move toward meeting our budget this year, and that is an amazing thing to witness. It is a gift to arrive to the number of deep commitments that keep coming in. We are so grateful for each of you who've taken time, and we know that it is a risky thing to write down your hopes about how you want to be in community with others, and we know that for good reasons, many of us pause at that invitation. We're not quite sure what to share, and so we want to encourage you in the days ahead to take that risk, to lean in with others, into sharing your hopes for how you want to connect more deeply with God and one another in the year ahead. We call that process here at the table Deep Commitments, and we hope you will take an opportunity to do that if you haven't yet. And we are so grateful for those that have already shared. Those will help us to shape worship for the year ahead. As a community, our Christmas offering this year is going to go to two important ministries. One of those is called the United Methodist Committee on Relief. So this is our global denomination's arm that helps in places that are experiencing disaster. So half of our Christmas offering will go directly to those in need who've experienced climate crisis and disaster in those ways. Half will stay here in Sacramento through the United Methodist Church's Division of Refugee Resettlement, which here in Sacramento is called Opening Doors, and that will go to supporting refugees and those seeking asylum in this space. And so we commend those offerings to you. All of your gifts will be divided among those two. And then also in the back of the sanctuary, you saw some amazing hand-knit things that have already started to show up. Both Lutheran Social Service and Creation District, which watch over in love those experiencing homelessness in our community, have invited us to join with them in giving gifts to those who are experiencing being unhoused right now. So in the back of the sanctuary, you can bring those gifts over the following weeks or the coming weeks, and we will share those with Creation District, who works with young people, and also with LSS. There are QR codes. You can learn more about those, and hopefully we'll find links for those that are gathering online. And as always, you can find that on our website. Rise Up Bread is just outside of the door. I want to invite you to stand in body or spirit. And we'll join our voices as we feel led to a going out song. This is called O Day of Peace. So I invite you to rise as you're willing or able.
O Day of Peace that dimly shines through all our hopes and prayers and dreams, guide us to justice, truth, and love, delivered from our selfish schemes. May swords of hate fall from our hands, our hearts of envy find release, till by God's grace our warring world shall see Christ's promise.
Friends, on this day of peace, may we each say yes to our belovedness, our own belovedness, and that of our neighbor. And may we leave this place slowly, heeding the invitation for this season to lean in to God's mystery of love. Go in peace.
For all the earth shall